My God is bigger. He's more wiser too. My God. I'm not looking for a substitute. I substituted him for all those others that were trying to be God. And he is my God today. Well, I thank God for Sister Marilyn. I love it when these young folk come in here. Got some life. They're not restricted. They're just running anywhere. They're just being free. And the reason why I love them when they're little like that, you know, the Bible says that when you give, it's giving back the same measure. So if you notice, I do a whole lot with little kids. God can't lie. He says it's coming back. I don't pass up any of them. And then I want to put the spotlight on Shemaya this morning. She didn't know I was going to do this. But when they little, like Marilyn, and you interact with them, you develop a relationship with them. So she was getting her license this week. So she called me. See, I love it, because they called me. They don't worry about their parents or anything. They come direct. She said, I'm a little nervous about this test. And I want you to pray for me. That means something's getting in there. She said, I want you to pray for me. I said, we're going to pray. We're gonna ace this test. We're going to get those licenses. She got those licenses this week, too. Yeah, we're proud of them. It ain't many of them in here, but those that's in here, I got my eye on them. And we're going to get it to the other side, too. We might be rocky as we go, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We thank God for them. And then this week, I met another friend, you know, and I talked to him a little bit. I said, I hear a little accent in there. What accent is that I'm listening to? Jamaican. I said, oh, well, you need to come on over there. I got a couple folk from Jamaica. You might know them. So he showed up today, and that's Burnett. Wave their hand, Burnett. Yeah. He's new to the neighborhood. Just lives two doors off the school. So we've had some good conversation this week, so we thank God for him being here today. All right, if you would then, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 10. I'm sorry, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. I also pray for Mother Vogus Harris that lost a nephew this week. Sister Monty Mitchum's grandchild. Pray for her. Beginning at verse 1, it reads, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. 1 John, chapter 1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want to teach today from this topic: confess with your heart. Confess with your heart. Now, John begins by explaining the one from the beginning came to the earth. And John, among other disciples, personally experienced this eternal one that he's describing. John said he audibly heard this word of life talk, and he physically seen this word of life, and he looked upon this word of life, and his hands handled this word of life. And he said this word of life is God, because he existed before anything else and is the source and the existence of all things. He says, for this is how God has demonstrated to us that He loves the world and he loves you. This is how he demonstrates that he loves you. God said, because I gave my son, my only son, to the world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but they could have eternal life. Now that statement lets us know that everybody doesn't get eternal life. It says that I sent my son to the world so that everyone could have eternal life. But it takes you believing in him to not to perish. Not believing that he exists and not believe there is a God. You got to believe him. That's how you do not perish. So Jesus is the word of life, which gave life to his creation, because he's been here from the beginning, since the beginning. And he gives life in a new birth to those that will believe in him. Only the word of life, which is Jesus, can impart true life in you. You can't pray enough to get it. You can't study enough to get it. You can't talk to others enough to get it. You can't listen to music enough to get it. You can't give enough to get it. The only thing that can get you the word of life is your heart. It doesn't come any other way. It's provided, but you can't get it without giving God your heart. And you can say, he's got my heart, but you don't dictate when you've given God your heart. God determines that. God says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. When I know your heart loves me enough, I choose you. You can beg, borrow, or steal, and that won't move God. You can try to wait him out, But you waiting in time. And there's no time in eternity. So you can't even wait him out. And so if you are seeking God, and the word of life has not imparted true life in you, you're seeking eternal life apart from him. And it's very pointless and it's useless. Jesus is not just the giver of life. He is life. And believing in Jesus' redemptive work as the word of life grants you an opportunity to receive eternal life. So then, in verse 5, it says, this then is the message. This then is the message that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is not a light. God doesn't have light. God is light. The fact that God is light sets up a very natural contrast between light and darkness. You know, if I had a flashlight in and turned it on right now and point around, you might not even see the light because it's in the midst of light. Or if I took and closed my hands, you might can't tell that it's dark on the inside. But come outside tonight. You can find every light in the midst of that darkness. Because light overcomes darkness. And darkness cannot overcome light. So the fact that God is light and there's a contrast between light and darkness, light then is demonstrated from God as being righteousness and goodness. And darkness is evil and sin. So therefore, he's saying, if you claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness or evil and sin, God says, you lie. You lie. You're lying. And you do not live in truth. You don't live in righteousness. If you say that you do not sin, you live in darkness. And you do not live out truth. So if you do not have light, God says you do not know me. You might talk about me. You might quote scriptures around me. And you might even quote in your mind this relationship, but you are not confessing it from your heart. God knows the difference between your head and your heart. He knows the difference when you say, I love you, from your head rather than from your heart. Your head wants something from God. So it'll say whatever it knows that Christians say in order to get from God what we want. And we beg and cry and do everything to get God to respond. And there's no response because God knows and he's told us, you honor me with your lips. You've learned the things to say to get a response back, but your heart is far from me. Your heart does not match what your quote is saying. Your actions, your behavior toward me is not the actions of someone who is talking to me from their heart, because I don't get the response that I'm supposed to get when that's a confession versus just a quote. So he says then, therefore, if you claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, you're walking in evil and sin, but claiming to have fellowship. He says, this serves you in a way that challenges and gives you a warning. Who claims to have a relationship with God, he's giving you a warning that Christianity goes well beyond just words. It reveals itself through your actions. Christianity reveals your heart through your behavior. It was years after Christ had died that different people, and it was first in Antioch, quit calling Christ's disciples his disciples, or believers. Although some of those believers, there's some followers of Christ, there's some disciples of Christ. But they got to a time when they came to Antioch that they was first known as Christians. Because it had shifted from just having information that you act like one, behave like one. I think it was Peter, I believe, that when he denied Christ, and when he denied him, came and asked Peter about being a follower of Christ. He said, no, I'm not one. He said, oh, yeah, you are, because your speech betrays you. You can't hide. You can't hide what's on the inside. His speech betrayed that he was trying to act like he wasn't a Christian, but his speech demonstrated that he was. He was trying to react to protect himself, but because he had been changed, he couldn't even protect his own self. It took God to protect him. And God did protect him. So to walk in darkness means that you live in God's. And you have to look at this. God's not looking at things the way you look at them. You look at it from what you see around you, and you look back up to heaven. God never looks from down here. He looks from up there, down here. He calls the world being not controlled by him, that we blame everything on a storm, a tornado. You know, look out, God is working. God doesn't say that. God said this, the God of this world. He doesn't even claim this world. He said this is the God of this world. That many of us are, as believers, are trying to allow to lead and guide us every day. God says that my kingdom is not of this world. So we're focused on the wrong place. God's not trying to intervene in the world. He's not trying to control this world. Adam gave it up. Adam gave it up. But everything we're seeking in this world. And we're begging God for it. And if God don't get it, we switch over and we try to get it the way the world operates. And so we treat people and interact with people just like the world, but claiming God. God said, no, seek me from above and not from this earth. My treasures are up above. They're not here on the earth. But if you seek what I got above, I'll just add what you need while you're down here on this earth. So therefore, we need to understand that if we don't see any light in it, God's not in it. And the church is in a terrible place today. It's chasing, trying to fit God in this world. And we're trying to force him in this world. And evangelicals are really trying to force him in this world. And even more importantly, they're trying to force him in America. As if the only people that God saved was America. So I'm going to force you to take a Jewish covenant of 10 commandments that was given only to them, and I want to force the whole country to follow it. But you Jews who this covenant was given to, you got to do it the way the Christians want you to do it. Look at how we're trying to force God to take care of something that he's not even concerned about. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 8, the very last verse, that that covenant has been abolished. Either the evangelicals are right and God is a liar, or either God is true and the evangelicals are liars. If God said it's abolished, it's abolished. So he brought us in God, who is light, to overcome the darkness of this world, to prepare us for eternity and offer us something that is greater and true. So if you do not have the light, you do not know God. So this, then God wants us to recognize the essence of who he is. So it's through Christ's redemption work and the Spirit of God's regeneration that have delivered you, God says, I have delivered you from the power of darkness, and I have translated you into the kingdom of my dear son. You have been moved from the kingdom of darkness, this world, into light. But most of us just don't know it. God is light, and it is his plan that he wants believers to shine forth his light, becoming more and more like Christ every day. You are all children of the light and children of the day. But if you say you have no sin, verse 8 says, and here's where the body of Christ runs into the problem. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. Anybody who says that they don't sin, they don't have a reason to go to God and ask for repentance. The Bible says you deceived. To deceive yourself, now notice what deception does. To deceive yourself is an attempt to hide the truth from yourself. Think about it. To deceive yourself is you're trying to hide the truth of yourself from yourself. Now, how confusing is that? I'm going to deceive myself of the sin that's in me. So I'm going to try to hide it myself from myself, as if I don't even exist. You have convinced yourself that something that is false is true, or something that is true is false. Or either you've attempted to convince yourself or others that your feelings that you have, or the reasons, your reasoning that you have, are the emotions that you have are different than what they really are or that you claim. The truth is not in you because you can't deal with yourself. This is why Jesus is saying, I'm light. My light shines on the inside of you and it has revealed to you the darkness that's in you. But you're trying to hide in yourself through deception to not believe that you are what God says you are. That's why there's a lot of folk that do not accept Christ as Savior, because they have deceived themselves to thinking that I'm going to heaven just like you. But he tells us in verse 9, if you confess, admit, acknowledge your sins to God the Father. God the Father is faithful and he's just to forgive you of your sins. And sometimes you may need to admit to yourself that I've wronged a family member or a co-worker or a brother in Christ. And the scripture teaches us or teaches you to confess your sins to other believers and to seek forgiveness from those you have hurt. As a matter of fact, God is not talking to you until you fix a few things. Now, we might not believe that, but God, anything that's important to God, he repeats over and over again. So as you're doing your devotion study, he's not going to let you miss it. He's not going to let you miss what he's saying. And so he tells us in one place in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. He says, therefore, if thou bring a gift to me at the altar, and there remember that thy brother have aught against thee. Notice, I don't have nothing against them. If you read that, if I get to the altar, and I know that Deacon Scott has an ought against me, I don't have one against him. This is why God has asked you to do something that you can do if you are born again. You can't do it if you're not. You got his DNA. You can do this. God so loved the world that hates me, sinning against me, cursing me, that I gave my son, even while the world is sinners, I still came and died for you. So you can't do it without my nature. So I gave my nature. And Deacon Scott got an odd against me. I don't have nothing against him. God says, don't come up here praying to me. You go first. Go over here and reconcile this thing. How can you hate Deacon Scott, who you see every day, and love me, who you've never seen? You've never seen heaven, never seen God, trying to get there, want to live in eternity. God don't think like the world. He says, reconcile that. Then come and talk to me. He goes on and reinforces it. God hears not sinners. But if you are a worshiper of me and do my will, I'll hear you. But what if Deacon Scott won't respond to me? I ain't got anything against him. God tells you how to handle that too. Go get Brother Vince and go get Mother Bogus and go back to it and try to reconcile that. But he says, bringing those two or three didn't matter. He still can't fix that odd out. God said, then leave that believer alone. I'm going to treat him like he's a sinner. And whatsoever two or three agree on earth, and if you bind it on earth because you have my nature, I'm going to bind it in heaven. And whatsoever you free on earth because you have my nature, I'm going to free it on earth. Now, if God gives that kind of authority to where he will respond to, don't you know he knows who he's chosen? And what I've put in them, that I'm going to follow what those two or three concluded. So he's not concerned about you belonging to Turning Point or a church or attending church. That ain't the criteria. The criteria is the new birth that's in a person. So then he also has in another place, he says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He requires, well, one more. And he comes back in Colossians in chapter 3. There's a lot more, but Colossians chapter 3, he says, forbear one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgave you, forgive them. Like I said, you can't do this like without a new birth. He wants you to maintain a healthy, loving, intimate relationship. And it will require the giving and receiving of forgiveness. For this is how God builds relationships. And this is how they work. Now, why is God requiring me to change like that? I like myself the way I am. Because God is saying the way you are is not the way it's going to be in heaven. I didn't kick out a whole third of angels because they wouldn't conform. And you think he's going to put it right back the way that it used to be? And let me come in because I think that I'm right all by myself? God said, nope, you got to get my DNA. And you got to let me change you from what you are to what I want you to be. But while you're changing, I'm going to allow you to get the benefits of my son. So you can use his name. Even while you're growing and developing, while you're maturing and getting rid of things that shouldn't be in you, I'm going to allow you to get the benefits still because you can use my son's name, who has made you the righteousness of God in Christ. So do not apply this requirement and of thinking that being deceived, without changing, I'm going to heaven. Because in your fellowship with God and with other people, if we offend the other party, God requires us to mend the relationship by confessing our failures and asking for forgiveness. So first you must be willing to admit your sins in yourself. You got to come to grips with yourself. God's got you at a crossroad. God is not I don't share with other gods. I don't share. He says, I'm jealous. And I'm the only one that can be jealous. You can't be jealous. I hold it against you. But I'm jealous. There is no other God but me. And I'm not sharing with any other God. So he is requiring me to conform. I can't negotiate with him. He's not negotiating. And the biggest thing we don't realize is God will take you the easiest way you want to go. He said, my ways are easy and they're light. But the more I resist, you can't out, you're not stronger than God. My God is bigger. My God is greater. You can't box with him. If God has made up his mind that he wants you to do a certain thing, you're going to do it. If you don't know the story about Saul, start in the 9th chapter of Acts, where he's called Saul. And that's where he gets a conversion. Here's a man that, if you read his resume, he reads that I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. In other words, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisee. I'm first in my class. Concerning the law, I'm blameless. I don't miss a thing. And he was out here trying to kill Christians because they would not conform to the law that had been abolished. And he was trying to force all these Christians to conform to the law of Moses first. You have to do this first, and then you become a Christian. Can't you see the parallel? That's exactly what the evangelicals are saying. Without getting a heart change, I'm teaching you to be a professional hypocrite. Do these things. God never will give man authority to change morals because he know they come from the inside. God already didn't show you that don't work. He gave 10 commandments and 613 laws to the Jews. And they couldn't do it. Every single jot and tittle on how to perform that, they couldn't do. That shows you a whole lot of folk don't read their Bible and they're trying to teach others. Now, God then gave you a whole history with Israel that I can't make you live your morals. And here comes some politicians trying to tell, we're going to put this in the schools, or we're going to do this, or we're going to stop these things, and all these things I'm going to change to try to get you to change your morals. You can't change people's morals. They just become a hypocrite and just don't do it around you. The change has to come from the inside. It ain't about what you quote. It's about what you confess with your heart. If your heart's not with God, your heart's not with him. And all I'll do is hide from you. So David recognized that, and he was the king of Israel. And he said in one of his more popular psalms, Psalm 51, he says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sins are always before me." And he was a king. He's a king. I'm leading a whole nation. But he had a relationship with God. And he says, "I know my transgressions. And my sins are ever before me." Now we got folk that want to be in charge and say that I will never sin. And I don't need to ask for forgiveness. That's a scary place to be. Who are you going to follow? Either God is a liar or God is telling the truth. And it doesn't matter about what the God of this world is controlling. Because the Bible says they're all unjust anyway. They're all unjust. There's none righteous. No, not one. And so we injure ourselves and we hamper and hinder our relationship with God by trying to deny or hide our sins. One of the Proverbs at 28 states, whoever conceals their sins will not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them will find mercy. So when you confess your sins to God, you agree with him. You're agreeing with God. That's why you confess it. I agree with you, God, that I've broken your laws, and therefore I deserve to be punished. Confession recognizes that you are wrong, and you are personally being held guilty. Confession confronts your denial of sin, and it meets it head on. So you humble yourself enough to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. And believers who want to walk in God's light must be willing to let him deal with their lives the way that he wants to deal with you. He's not here to hurt you. He's here to change you. He don't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. He don't want you miserable. He wants you full of joy. He wants the best for you. But he is not going to let you get the best while you're trying to not change or be committed to another. So confession must be personal. You can't say to God, if I have made any mistakes, forgive me. If is not a confession. If is you still trying to hide and deny. If is I don't want to be confronted. You can't hide from God. He says, I knew you when you was being formed in your mother's belly. I knew you before you even conceived. I'm God. I know how conception is going to be made and who's going to be conceived. I'm not controlling it, but I know who. He knew you was going to be here before you were conceived. He didn't make this conception take place. There's so many other people could be here instead of you. But he knew you were going to be conceived. So I know what you have need of, even before you ask me. I'm God. I don't need a conversation. I don't really need you to pray. I don't need your lips, but I recognize that your lips is an unruly member that cannot be tamed. The Bible says it's like fire. You can't contain it. It'll say anything and do anything. It'll curse God. And God knows it. He already knows that. That's why everybody ain't going to heaven. I'm not bringing that up here. I want to change you. And you don't have any clue what I've prepared. He didn't say I prepared houses. He said I've prepared mansions. In my Father's house is many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you can be there also. But you have to confess from your heart that I'm Lord. So there's no if attached to it. So thankfully, God is faithful and he's just. He's faithful meaning that he will never give up on you as long as you got breath in your life. He won't give up on you. He won't turn his back on you. You can always count on him to be steadfast in his love and willing to forgive. When you turn to him, he will have mercy on you. And he's just, always willing to freely pardon you, no matter what your past may have been. no matter what you have done, I want to pardon you and justify you so that I want to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. To where I, who knew you before you was conceived, I can't even remember your sins. Now look at that God. One that knew you before you were conceived can't remember a sin that you didn't commit. I've given you an easy road to get into heaven. I've given you an easy way to have eternal life. But you got to change. You can't be the way you are and come up here and live with me in eternity. You will walk by my throne and will not speak. When everybody else is worshiping, you want to go and sightsee. When it's time to come before the throne and bow and a convocation is going on, I don't feel like it today. He got to change you. He's not planning on kicking out a third out of heaven again. I'm going to change you while you're down here on earth. I gave you something that Adam didn't even have. Adam didn't have my nature. And everybody up to Christ did not have a born-again experience. All I gave them was some do's and don'ts. Do this, do this, do this, and you'll be blessed. If you don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, you're going to be cursed. And so I made you behave a certain way. And you couldn't even do that. So I decided I'm going to put my nature in you. I'm going to not make you earn being righteous. I'm going to make you righteous. Just because I translated you into my kingdom. And so I've made it so, the Bible says this, I've made it so simple even a fool can't miss it. Now that's what the scripture says. So when God know he done did all he can, he ain't winking and blinking and he ain't worried about no tears and crying. I done paid for past, present, and future sins. And any sin that is committed, it's paid for. And if we reject that and will not confess that from our heart, that's why he can say, I don't hear sinners. Because I've done everything for them. And they still reject me. They still look for another God. So then, God does not forgive like you forgive. Only until the next disagreement. Or the next event. Then all of a sudden, everything that I said I forgive you for, I bring it right back. Because I haven't forgotten it. But God says, I forget. He don't care about what you used to be. I don't care you was a hit man. I don't care you was a pimp or a prostitute. I don't care about your past. He says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. And so God wants us to not to approach him deceiving ourselves, but he wants us to come clean before him. He wants us to make that tongue behave itself. And it only can do that through the word of God. The word that gives life. And God says, create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. But I'm making my request, God, through a confession today from my heart. That's what God is looking for. Anything short of that is not enough. Saying I'm saved is not enough. Coming to church is not enough. I need to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God. Thank you. I appreciate you You gave me a peaceful sleep last night. You kept everything intact. You kept back danger. Nobody broke in and brought harm. Everything is just the way I left it when I went to sleep.